This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
Hi everybody, Tim here. Welcome to this week's episode of the Polyhedron Society's Star Wars Edge of the Empire Actual Play Podcast. We are excited to announce the addition of a new cast member, Jackson, as well as the interesting character that he brings along with him named Data. We hope you enjoy Data's antics as much as we do. I'm not really sure I would say enjoy, but we'll see. Enjoy this week's episode.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars, Episode 12, Data Plan. Risker finds himself in deep poo-doo. Ozala, weak way pirate, has captured the disheveled Bothan Doctor, stole a freighter, and is fleeing Cassadine. The Doctor finds unexpected help with a new friend. Meanwhile, Rodian mercenary Draco Revan and Trandoshan juggernaut Varg Drosh are having troubles of their own.
Welcome, everybody. This would be Episode 12, I believe.
The revengeing.
The first thing that I would like to do is go ahead and introduce Jackson. He will be joining the crew, or Hello. The cast, and his character will be joining the crew.
Hello.
Well, we're going to kind of keep his character a little more under wraps until he's introduced. I think a grand entrance would be most appropriate for this character. But we're going to go ahead and let him roll Destiny when we do that, when we roll our pool. I'll just refer to him as Jackson instead of as his character.
I'm playing a Gundark.
Until he's introduced.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, right? So the first things first, I've already rolled obligation, and we're going to role play that obligation when it comes into play. When we get started. So that's first. Second, we'll go ahead and get our destiny pools together. We'll start with Claire. Or should I say Risker?
One dark side.
One dark side, then we will go to Lan.
Two light side.
Those are good.
And then we will go to Bog.
One dark side.
One dark. Draco.
One dark.
One dark. And last but not least, Jackson.
One dark.
One dark. So the pool stands at 6 destiny points, 4 of which are dark. Dun, dun, dun. 2 are light. So we ready? Here we go. The scene opens with Dr. Risker, and he is standing on a hazy street on Nar Shaddaa in this flashback sequence. Standing before him is a human and a Godal. Godal? Godal? Godal?
Godal.
I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, so we'll go with Godal. Godal and the human. They stand before Dr. Risker, who looks very nervous, and they're basically demanding money for some debt that Risker owes or whatever the situation may be, and they're very threatening about it. And as Dr. Risker comes to in the updated sequence, it's like he's laying in a cell on the floor, remembering these guys roughing him up. 4 credits that he owes. He's not 100% sure why he owes those credits, right? Do you know?
No, he doesn't know.
You have no clue. So no, these guys are just showing up demanding money, and you're like, I don't have any money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever pay them?
This far, I don't think he has just yet.
Right, they're just roughing him up, and they normally catch you when you're by your lonesome. So the rest of the crew may not even be sure that these people even exist, right?
Yeah.
Right? Cool. So when you come to and you're remembering that, your head hurts, you're in a tiny cell, and that will cause you to suffer the 2 strain setback. And then when you catch up with the group or the group catches up with you, however it works out, they will suffer the one strain setback by the way you act about it. And you act all fidgety and nervous or different than you would your normal weird self.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're laying in this cell. It's a small cell. It's aboard a starship, which is really confusing to you. And then as you're laying there, the Weequay, Captain Ozala, walks by. And he's got a blaster in his hand, and he's holding a heavy coat, like a winter coat, that a person would wear in extremely cold weather, right? And he kind of throws it down at the cell and holsters the blaster that he got from somewhere and tells you, you're going to need to get that. You're going to need it where we're going. It's really cold.
I don't understand. Why am I here? What?
You threw your drink at me, and you're the first. Ozala's revenge, you know? And since you like to run around with slavers, I'm probably going to sell you to somebody.
What?
Yeah, Talos Kizo probably, he's got some contacts. He knows some people. We'll find a nice place for you.
But
the spice mines of Kessel's always looking for new labor.
But I helped save your life. You can't do this.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh well.
His ears kind of fall down as he's just like confused, blown away, and not entirely sure he knows what to do at this point.
Then again, I might just use you as bait.
Bait?
Your friends will come looking for you, right?
His eyes slowly widen. You can't do that. They
what?
It won't work. I mean,
they're not going to come looking for you?
Oh, you don't have to do this, all right? What happened was a mistake. We weren't trying to hurt anyone. You just...
He points at his face.
Things got out of hand. Did you just... You just have to understand that. You can't sell me. You can't hurt anyone.
Can't or won't. You know, we may make a pit stop at Nar Shaddaa.
Nar Shaddaa? Well, why there?
I know some people. Last time I spoke with them, they were looking for a Bothan doctor. You're a doctor.
Yes,
and he reaches down and pulls out his blaster and aims it at you through the bars.
And he kind of like raises his paws.
In defense? Close.
Yeah. I am. But I mean, a Bothan doctor? It's a big galaxy out there. There's many Bothans and doctors and Bothan doctors and why do you have to? Oh gosh. Oh poodoo. Can't we talk this out? I mean, I could maybe help with your any kind of gestures to his face, you know, with what happened there a little bit. I mean, you still look. I'm gonna shut up. I'm gonna shut up now.
Puts his blaster away. Says, you might want to get some rest. We got a decent trip ahead of us. The Hoth system is a long way from here.
The Hoth system? Oh gosh. Oh, what have I stepped into?
And he walks away.
The ship, it has bars? Like,
they have a small brig for some reason.
But it's like bars instead of the...
Yeah, it's bars.
The force field.
Yeah, it's actual bars.
Medieval.
Right. Those barbarians, they probably use paper.
And cell phones.
He doesn't know how to use the 3C shells.
And you can hear the engine begin to warm up.
He slowly reaches out of the bar then and drags the coat in as he just kind of looks around his pitiful little cell and just wonders, how is he going to get out of this?
Perfect. We're going to screen wipe to another scene of the last ride flying into Felina. But there's a problem with the last ride as it flies. It's streaming a trail of black smoke that also is being filtered into the ship itself. And Draco and Vog have no clue as to why it would be doing that. You can't even fathom the problem. So the best thing you can do is get to your landing pad as quick as possible before things get ugly. Either you run out of oxygen inside or the ship crashes. There's a lot of instruments on the panel, lots of lights and little flashy things and all this. And there's one that's screaming at you, whoever's piloting. Who's piloting?
I'm not.
Probably me.
That would be Draco. So the problem, Draco, is that there is a temperature gauge almost, and it's telling you in no certain way by flashing and, you know, little alarm going off that the ship is definitely overheating, which you're able to bring the ship in and get it on the landing pad on top of your newly acquired warehouse rather quickly. But as soon as it sets down and you start powering things off, there's this smoke's just boiling up in here. You have to open your landing ramp and you have to lower that little cargo elevator in the back cargo hold. And you turn on the intakes to filter it out, and they're not doing the job. They're on. You can hear them running. The indicator tells you that they're working properly, at least as far as what they're supposed to do, but it's not working.
Sounds like we might got sand up in the engine.
Yeah, it don't normally do that. Not next.
We're going to have to find a mechanic.
No way around it.
We will go and track down... not Tommen, shoot.
See if Tyr knows anybody.
Tyr.
Somebody that we can trust to get the job done and not rig the ship with explosives.
Yeah, that would be Tyr.
Never mind. We don't know anybody like that.
See if Tyr knows somebody that'll do it on the cheap.
It's good.
Because that's all cheap is the only option we got.
Okay, so the screen wipes again, and we see a sad and lonely and incarcerated Dr. Risker sitting in his little dingy cell all by his lonesome. When I'm going to need Dr. Risker to make me an average perception check.
Average is like 2, right?
Yes, that is correct. It is 2.
So I got 2 successes and a disadvantage.
Okay, a threat, you mean?
Yeah, I'm a threat. Don't kill me.
Not yet. Soon enough.
Oh, God.
So with the 2 successes, you hear the sound of a mechanical tool, like a socket wrench, making that clinking noise. And you're pretty convinced it's coming from the inside of a air duct that's down near the floor across the hall from your little cell.
Hmm.
The threat, do you have any suggestions how you'd like to spin that threat?
Let me think. What horrible thing can I do to Riskers in this moment that's not worse than what's already happened? I guess it's down the hall.
It's across. It is across the hallway. Okay. So you're looking through your bar cells.
Okay, so I'm trying.
You can see it.
What I'll suggest then is as he's trying to like look through it, he doesn't really pay attention to the distance of the bars in his forehead. So he bangs his head against it, and I guess I'll just lose another strain.
Perfect. So you're like really intently staring at that, at the vent. And you lean forward to see what is actually going on, and you knock your head. I don't know if you've ever hit your head on something metal like that, like a cell
always.
Door of a prison or a jail, but I'm sure it wouldn't feel good. So your vision crosses for a second, and when it comes to, the vent is now laying down on the floor, and you see what appears to be a cat's rear end, almost like a big fluffy house cat looking thing. Its rear end comes squeezing out, and eventually the tail breaks free and pops up straight up in the air, and then the whole thing just kind of slides out.
And this is across the hall?
This is across the hall. So this thing stands up right on 2 legs and looks around, and Jackson, you may describe what they see.
He's like, how tall? Like 3 feet? Less than that?
Yeah, he's about a meter tall.
A meter tall? He's wearing a smuggler's kind of vest thing, and it comes up to like just his little cat arm, I guess. And he's wearing big, dumb-looking welder goggles on his head, and he has this big satchel full of whatever, and...
You can't really tell what it is.
Yeah.
I love whatever. It's one of my favorite so, things with me.
when the audience...
Can't see it, it's zipped up.
Right, when the audience is visualizing this thing, referenced the Star Wars Rebels animated show, and the Loth cats, is what you're seeing, except for this Lothcat, again, stands upright on two legs and is definitely more sentient than typical Lothcats. So he looks around like he's lost and confused.
And he'll pull the goggles off his head and let him, you know, clank to the top of his head as he looks around. Oh, well, I notice Risker.
Why?
Yeah, it would be hard for you to see him.
He looks over at Risker and he goes, "Sup." And then he starts mumbling to himself, whatever he's looking around.
All right, in that moment, Dr. Risker is not sure what is reality and what is fantasy at this point.
Like every other moment in Risker's life.
He's staring at what he believes to be a domestic animal that is apparently standing on 2 feet, wearing people clothes, goggles that are way too big for his head.
Which is pretty big.
And it just spoke to him. Now, as a man that's somewhat sane, he can only stare at Dr. Risker's.
Talk about Lan here.
Yeah. He can only stare in disbelief as he can't quite register what he's seeing, but he's at that point where his mind and it's just kind of working on his own as he can only reply, "Hey there, little guy."
He looks back over to you and he goes, "Hey, you know where the kitchen is in here?"
Kitchen? The kitchen where the food is?
Yes.
He kind of like actually takes a moment to think like, "Do I know where the kitchen is? I mean, is that a thing I know?" And kind of looks back and forth and he slowly sits back and he's like, I don't think so. I'm kind of new here, sort of. Sorry.
He continues looking around, like he tries to look through the hallway and see if he can. He'll actually pull out like a mirror so that he can stick through the thing so he can angle and see what's one way and what's the other way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
probably actually like a broken mirror.
Off of a car. Speeder.
Or like a
speeder's rear view mirror.
Or like a Barbie doll. Like one of the mirrors.
Good.
It's pink and everything.
You're actually holding the Barbie doll, and the Barbie doll's got a little toy mirror, and she's got her arm out.
What do I see or anything?
You just see a hallway that goes left and right.
So, what you doing here?
You can now hear the engines come to full power.
Oh no!
Well, question to the DM: what am I doing here?
You stowed away.
You're looking for
and
food. You're
hidden in the bowels of this cargo vessel and until now. And probably the need to eat has driven you out to search for food, which is why you're looking for the kitchen, which is really strange and begs the question, why would a
house cat
be looking for the kitchen or even know what a kitchen is?
But my concern is why did he choose to wear a vest but no pants?
Yes, it's to attract the ladies.
Oh, no false advertisement. I got you. I can respect that. So, yeah, hello.
I didn't actually know you were talking. Everyone's just staring at me over here. He's still like off in space, like looking and trying to see where he's at. Then he looks back over to where the hole is,
mm-hmm.
And he actually just walks over there and sticks his head in there, and you hear him talking because he's just, you know, echoing it out, and he's just. Did I take the right turn at the silver tube or the other silver tube? He's just kind of talking to himself in there.
He said the right at the conduit. This place is full of conduits. I don't know.
All right. At this point in time, I am going to flip Destiny and check my pockets to see if I have like any crackers, maybe from Tears Bar on me.
Some cheese. I don't know.
Some peanuts.
A little olive or something.
There's a dead rat in his pockets.
Oh, that would happen.
That's exactly what you find.
Oh no, a dead rat?
You are Dr. Risker after all.
Oh, I gotta check my pockets more often. I mean, I usually don't because there's vomit in there so most of the time, but.
Which would have.
Oh, why do you vomit in your pockets?
I might eat this later.
It's not always my vomit. Gosh! Keep up with the program here. All right. Well, he kind of like looks through his Well, first he takes off the big furry coat, and then he starts digging in his old ratty one, and he's trying to figure out, like, did I take any crackers or anything? And that's when he feels something petrified, furry, and definitely something that must have been alive, because it kind of now smells it. And he slowly pulls it out and looks at it. He's like, I don't suppose this is something you'd want, is it?
Does it have to be petrified?
No.
Can it just be like, it's, like, it's questionably? Can it be questionable that it's alive or dead? Can it's it be questionable?
Fresh.
Well, I can, like, wiggle it for you.
So what do you do? Hold it up by the tail and shake it at him?
Well, I'm probably going to drop it first.
What's that? Oh, it's a rat. It's a womp rat.
So he drops it.
This big hole.
And he's just like, not sure if it would be, like, politically correct to call him a cat. So.
Oh my god.
I'm not sure if I should offer it to him or not.
Would he be offended?
And he drops it in front of him, and he's just kind of like staring, and he's like, hey.
He turns around.
Hey, I if you're hungry, I mean, I do have this question mark, as he gestures to the rat in front of him.
Do I see it?
I think it'd be pretty obvious.
Oh. I'll take it. Then he'll walk over to the cell. How hard would this door to be open?
I would give it an average skullduggery check.
Okay, I'm gonna lockpick it or break it. Oh man.
Oh no.
That's a failure and an advantage.
Okay. Any way you think you might want to spend that advantage?
He slips the rat through the bars.
Yeah, you're able to get the rat. Wow. Just reach in and get it.
I'm in the other cell. That's what I'm talking about.
There's not another cell on the other side.
Oh, there's not? I am completely in a different...
You're
just
in the hallway. So you can just reach
through. That's why I was pointing
through.
That's why I had the mirror. I thought I was in a different cell.
No.
Oh, okay.
You can just reach through and get the mouse.
Oh, now I'm just reaching to get the mouse.
There you go. Problem solved.
he put his tools in there and thought about it and then just reached over and got it. And then put his tools back up.
All right, well, and that...
This is much easier.
Moment where he's like, notices the tools, he's like, can you open that door? I'm...
Not with that last roll.
New one.
I'll just make a second one.
What? I don't mean to offend, but I've had quite the day. What are you? You don't know. Okay. Are you real?
He like pulls on his arm, like jingles all the stuff in his bag. I think so.
Okay, well that's...
I'm a figment of my imagination.
Okay,
realizes it just poof.
All of his clothes and junk drops to the floor.
Wait, I don't think I'm real.
Dr. Riskers looks left and right as he's trying to make sure that no one else is here, and he looks back and he's like, this might sound strange more than what's happening here, I guess. I don't know. Regardless, you see that lock up there? Could you possibly unlock that for me?
All of a sudden, there's a guy who runs down the hallway right past you guys, and he just come in from outside.
As soon as the dude run by, he drops to all fours and sits down and licks himself.
He barely pays you guys any attention until he gets right by you. At first, he's yelling, "Hey, where are you going in my ship?" And then he looks, as he's running by, he looks at you guys and he goes, "Who are you?" Then he keeps on going.
Meow.
Oh, dear.
And now you hear blaster fire from the cockpit area.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay.
I'm going to make a mechanics check on the lock this time. I'm just going to use my blowtorch and cut it off.
Okay.
All right. At the moment that the cat pulls out a blowtorch, I am going to step away from the cell and hope for the best.
That'll be 4 successes and 2 advantages.
He's able to cut the bar, cut you loose, basically.
Okay, all right. Okay, Riskers, okay, this is your moment. Don't look back. He picks up the fur coat, because he ain't gonna leave that behind. He opens the door, and he's like, listen, little buddy, do you want to come with me? There'll be food and water.
I'm in.
You're oh, huh, that was
you
easy.
Had me at food.
as he tosses the mouse back
down his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, we have to.
With the little tail still hanging out.
All right.
Sucks it up like spaghetti.
Yeah. He looks both ways and he looks back to where the gunshots were and he's like.
You hear more blaster fire from the cockpit. And all right. People now are yelling out an alarm.
Well, then we're going to go in the opposite direction of that and hopefully find our way out.
Okay. You're able to make your way to the entry ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to run out and run across the landing bay.
Okay, good. I'm tripping and stumbling as I'm like running for the hills.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm like a cheetah.
Am I still in the Cassadine? Can I tell?
Yes, you are still in Cassadine.
Oh, thank God. All right. Is he behind me, Data?
Yes.
He's the reason why you're tripping. He's all in your feet.
Just like any cat, once you take off running, he's got to weave in between your feet as you're doing it.
It's like a challenge. They get like cat points for that. Right.
Okay. We just have to keep running and not look back. I think can I bring a cat to a bar? I don't know.
you look back at the ship, right?
Yeah.
You can see it begin to lift off.
Uh-huh.
And
good.
The entry ramp is still open as it raises up high enough to start clearing buildings and it slowly flies out of your vision.
Oh, thank goodness. All right, I'm gonna keep running and I'm gonna go to the one place that I am familiar with and that is Tears, and I'm gonna bring Dad
Bar and Grill.
What's the name of the place you're so familiar with?
Oh, I don't remember.
Beautiful.
The Crystal Palace?
Tears Bar and Grill.
Is it the Crystal Palace or
it's the Crystal Palace.
I think it is the Crystal Palace.
I think it's White Castle.
The Rusty Rancor?
Randy Sasquatch?
No, it was the Scorn's Den.
The Scorn's Den.
Yeah. So you go to the Scorn's Den.
Are we sure? I thought it was the Crystal Palace. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Next time.
Oh, no. Are you going
to flip Destiny to make you think it's the Scorn's Den?
Well, I flip Destiny. It's the Crystal Palace.
So.
I flip Destiny to the Scorn's Den.
Data thinks it's.
I don't know why I know. The Crystal Palace. I don't know. I've never been to this planet. No, I don't think that.
Can you even read?
No.
And
I don't think that. I've never.
You don't think
I'm
that?
Not aware.
Oh, that
where
would
at.
Be too funny.
It's just sand.
You're convinced it's the Scorn's Nest.
It's the same.
Give us that.
That
Destiny
same
point
way.
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So okay. We're gonna screen wipe, and we will be at the Crystal Palace.
Dang
where
it. I knew I should take notes for Riskers, but I never do it because I know he's confused and lost all the time.
He's wonderful. Where we see Vogue and Draco coming in, and you look around, and this time of day, it's really odd, but you do not see Tyr at his normal secluded table.
Great. Now we spend more time in this place than he does.
I doubt that.
Well, we're still here, and he's not.
He might be in the bathroom. He might be in the refresher.
Still free drinks.
As Draco reaches over the counter and grabs like 9 beers.
Because that's worked out so well for us. Is his table still empty? Is it still like...
There's always people sitting at his table. Honored guests, people that he deems...
Like his usual
worthy.
Seat, how's it?
It's his usual seat. His normal, where he sits at the head of the table, is empty. Nobody sits there.
Is there any food setting about?
Yeah, there's some upon... Well, there's some tables that haven't been bussed yet that you could filch off of.
No, I mean like fresh food.
Oh.
Not that I'm above it.
Right. You did live off the main streets of Nar Shaddaa at one time, right?
Right.
Right. You can get fresh food if you need fresh food.
I'm just wondering if there was any sitting around on the table somewhere.
He's going to start picking up.
Not that's unattended, no.
I'll definitely order something.
How many times have you gone to a restaurant by yourself, ordered food, in the middle of the dinner go, I'm going to go in here and use the bathroom or go do this and just leave your plate there? I don't, because I'm afraid somebody's going to come along and eat it.
Like, you know,
like Drago.
Like Drago.
It's called free food.
I'm going to...
the senior discount.
Sit at his table, order some food, and while I'm waiting for it to come, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get Lan on the comm link.
Okay. That will not be difficult at all.
Oh, sure.
Captain Lan. We've run into some complications. We're having ship problems. We're not going to be able to make it over there in the near future.
What kind of ship problem?
It's not wanting to fly. It's things filling up with smoke.
Okay, I'll be right there. Actually, I don't think I'd go to the Crystal Palace. I would go to the ship to see if I can find out what's wrong.
Okay, so you go to the ship, and guess what? Nobody's there. Nobody's home.
We're awesome at our jobs.
It's still smoking. It's also still smoking.
Yeah, still smoldering.
The keys are still in the engine.
We left the motor running. The
keys in the ignition.
Windows are down. Bay doors down.
Sands everywhere.
I hate you people.
Love you.
We just left it running so everybody'd know what's wrong with it. Put a sticky note that says fix it. And he went to the bar.
Back gone fishing.
Used to work in front of the AutoZone.
Nobody's here.
Great. Well, I'll go check it out. See if I can figure out what's wrong.
Okay, so up inside, you start poking around. The indicator lights, the engine is still overheated. It's not completely cooled down. So instead of it being, you know, like red level, it's probably down to like the yellow. But you know, if you fire this thing up, that it won't be long that it'll be overheating once again.
Any checks to figure out?
You can make a hard mechanics.
Oh man, I didn't check to see if they had my stuff. Oh no.
What stuff?
Like my medical bag and my stem and all my souvenirs.
Two successes, two threats.
Okay, so you know what's wrong with it. And you distinctly remember back a couple days ago when you guys landed in the strip mine, Dr. Risker went and checked the filter, the air filter levels, right. Mm-hmm. And it was in the orange category. So you go back there and check. And now that air filter is in the blinking red. Your ship sat through two sandstorms exposed, and I know the engine coolant has redundant systems, but in this particular case, that sand has clogged up that intake, those intakes, and is causing your engine to overheat, basically. Now, your threats are that it requires, because of the complexity of getting back to the actual filter, requires probably several hours worth of work. Because of all the things you have to take off to get to it, and then you have to put all these things back on. Nobody makes it easy. They want you to go down to the dealer to pay them to fix it instead of you doing it yourself.
Great.
But if something were topical. Small enough to get in there to...
Like the size of a loth cat, actually. It's like strange. It has the ear shapes and everything.
So if something were small enough, it could crawl back in there and replace your filter or clean it out or whatnot, but the way it stands with your current crew's composition, it'll take you probably, you know, like I said, several hours to get everything taken off, it replaced or cleaned out, and then all the parts put back.
All right, I'll start working on it. I'll call back to Vogue.
When he picks up, you can clearly tell that he's, you know, as he's talking, he's got a mouthful of something.
Go ahead.
Nom, nom, nom.
Have you found the doctor yet? Well, I figured out what's wrong with the ship. It's going to take me some time to fix it. Keep looking. I'll start tearing the ship apart, trying to get back running again.
All right. Keep in touch.
Can I get another one of these?
Right before it comes off, that's what you hear. Can I get another one of these? All right, so we're going to screen wipe again, and we're going to catch up with a Dr. Risker and a Lothcat in a dark, dingy, disreputable alley that these are the directions you were given when you were asking for where's the Scorn's den.
Oh no, what have I done?
This is not anything that you recognize.
Oh no, I thought I was already in the bad side of Cassadine.
Can I just use my data pad to like Google direction?
Well,
you mean like an astrogation check?
It's not called Google, it's called Palpatine. You have to Palpatine the answer.
And all it does is shock you.
The answers were shocking.
It just keeps electrifying you until you feed more credits into it.
It's a big
and then it says thank you for your contribution to the Imperial War effort.
Right. Remember to buy stocks and bonds.
It's like Palpatine's lightning fast, and you press it.
Right. Yeah, but you have no clue what you're looking for because Risker is totally convinced it's the Scorn's den.
Also, when I describe it, it's pretty much, it's seedy, it's dark, there are drinks there, scantily clad women.
Which is like the alley you're in right now.
Coincidentally. Okay.
This could be it.
Is there like garbage everywhere?
Yes.
I want to roll
around. And homeless people.
In the garbage.
Oh, I'm going to fit in fine here.
Me too. Except if I'm not a person.
The one homeless guy's like, hey, you didn't have to dress up.
Do you know where the Scorn's den is?
Yes, sir. It's right down this alley here.
This alley?
Yes, right down there. You see the sign? And he points, and it's like maybe two blocks down.
Past the spooky lights and
yes.
Questionable shadows?
No. That's it.
That's it. Down there.
The spooky lights are in.
Yeah, questionable shadows. That's it. You got it. Are you looking for some companionship? I'm not offering for myself, but I know a lady.
I have to go meet someone. I gotta go.
You could meet her. She's really nice.
Bye.
The whole time they're talking, I'm going through the garbage.
Hey, get your cat out of my garbage. That's my house.
Oh my God, you can see him too. Okay.
I found a needle. There's liquid in it. There's liquid in it.
No, put that down. And give it to me.
He tries to make it. This sandwich is only half eaten.
I'm sorry. Bye. And he kind of picks up the loth cat.
The loth cat. And yeah, and when you do, his shoulders slump and almost hangs off his head. And his feet stick straight out.
Put down the syringe. Put down the syringe. You don't know where that's been.
He drops it.
Good. All right. Let's now go down this question.
The needle pointing downward.
It sticks straight up in the sand. Like a dart.
No, let's go down this questionable hallway into the spooky looking bar. Man, if this was a horror movie, which it could be, we'd be dead.
It's pretty horrifying from this end. I know that.
It's a horror show. That much is for certain.
Yeah, when you get to the actual Scorn's den, there's a hologram of it's pretty crappily animated CGI stuff. So it's definitely not a hologram of a real life Scorn that like you have seen, but it's like an artist's crappy rendition of one. The hologram shows him, it's on a loop. It shows him stumbling around and he's got little bubbles that are coming out of his head. Like three little bubbles, and he's holding a drink as he stumbles, and it loops and starts over.
That makes me happy.
But it is not the place that you recognize.
I don't think this is right, but I mean...
Does your friends not have...
Scruples?
I don't know what they're called. Was it the
pianos.
The walkie-talkies?
Comlinks?
Comlinks.
Spiders.
Yes, they do, and I... I had one, but I got... sort of mad and
injected it.
Left it at this medical place, and now I don't know where I am. And then that's when he starts petting you, just at the top of your head.
And you can't help it. You purr.
Yeah.
Try as you might, you try not to, but you do.
No, I don't. I don't try not to.
You just purr.
I mean, should we go in and maybe see if they know?
I don't go in there.
Well, we'd have to go back the other way, and I can't face that homeless man again. He'll ask about my companion. I told him I was looking for my friends, and he'll think I'm lied to him. And
I don't want that homeless person to judge me.
He'll think I'm weird.
It's unfortunate, but that is his thoughts. He doesn't want to disappoint him.
Here, just use my comlink, and he rumbles through the bag. And, like, after the third comlink he hands you out that don't work and don't have anything in them, he finally finds one that does work.
Okay.
Shells of comlinks.
This is a little piece of grain of sand in them, so they are like a pebble, so they rattle.
So is there, like, a special channel I have to know to, like, all right.
Yes. You're going to get somebody who...
It's like
hey, what's your operating number?
Oh, I'm not good with people, though.
Can we call the operator?
No.
Wait, we need a phone book.
Because I'm awkward and I don't know things. What would defy that check? Would that be a cool check?
I don't think there's a skill memory.
Yeah, I just don't think that there is.
Because I can guarantee.
Computer?
I just imagine it's like today's cell phones, and like he has it like just locked into his contact list. Like, all right, this is Lance. This is Lance coordinates.
This is my,
Well, like walkie talkies, like cool really. Chick,
yeah.
So you could remember.
Yeah, but I would imagine that you could have like a personal frequency for each comm.
Right, well, it's like a radio. You've got different frequencies.
All right,
to tune
then
into.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start at one and then slowly work my way through each
that's
frequency.
30,000.
There could be
billions. Like,
yeah, right. I imagine there are like an infinite possibility of combination.
What if Risker just remembered?
Oh, but he wouldn't. I have to stay in character. Actually, no. You know what I'll do? I'm going to check my pocket. And I'm going to pull out the coordinates I actually wrote down for the frequency of the comm link. Can I do that? Do I have that?
Check your underwear. Maybe you wrote,
do you have a data
like,
pad?
No, I don't.
Because paper doesn't exist in the Star Wars universe.
No, I did have a data pad. But,
well, it does, but it's evil.
But then the Scorn ran off with it.
Okay, so the check that you're going to need to make to remember something is going to be cool.
Okay.
And it is going to be hard.
Oh.
Is that why you
and I will go ahead
checks?
And flip Destiny to upgrade the difficulty.
You know what?
You're determined to make this go nowhere.
Oh, I was about to give myself a proficiency die.
That would be wrong.
I know.
Unless you're evil, then dark side points do
for you. Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted.
A despair.
So I got 3 threats, and I failed.
That seems about right.
I have a horrible idea.
Okay, go ahead. I love horrible ideas.
All right, I do too. So I have 3 threats, and I'm trying to remember the appropriate comm link. Follow right. me on this one.
I'm following.
And who would be the worst person to call at this moment? Who would be really upset to find that I am not in the cell any longer?
Emperor Palpatine.
How did you keep this number?
The other one of the cell phones.
Call it me.
One of the comm links in my bag. Hey, I'm getting a phone call.
Hello?
Oh, that would actually be fun.
Who is this?
Too.
Oh, it's you.
But I was thinking...
Ozala.
Ozala. Somehow he remembered, I don't know, while he was passed out, those numbers.
Okay.
it's the lost.
No, what's happened is you got the comm link from Data, who's been on this planet scavenging, and it is scavenged the comm link off of one of the dead guards. One of his dead crewmen. Well,
just off the ship.
Yeah, just off the ship.
Yeah.
So it could be sitting on the dashboard of the cockpit.
Right.
Somebody's there flying,
yeah.
And it rings, and the guy picks it up.
Lan, are you there?
There's just silence for a moment, and then you hear a voice that is obviously not Lan, but he goes,
"This is Lan."
Does it sound like Lan?
You don't know what Lan sounds like, so.
I'm also deaf.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Did you see Lan? I meant Pan. Bye.
No.
I think that was the wrong number.
So. Data?
Prank calling is a punishable offense in the Empire. Just want to see.
Punishable by spanking.
Oh, no.
Data probably knows this, but can you track comm links? From, like, if I had a comm link and someone, like, can I track their comm link? Like, is that a thing that you can do?
I think if it's in use, you probably could.
I'm just saying, like, in
but
general.
If it's, in general, I think if it's in use, somebody's using it, then I think you probably could. If it's not, then... I doubt it. Because remember,
it's not transmitting.
Right, yeah, it's not transmitting.
Well, this...
Oh, okay.
He did this back in the 70s, and CB radios were popular then.
Right.
And
right.
They could find you with a CB radio if you had it on and were talking.
While you're transmitting, correct.
Right.
Yeah, but do you really want every enemy to have the ability to track you by your comm link? If that were the case, I think the rebellion would be squashed pretty easy.
Well,
that's why they went and talked in person.
Maybe that's part of
maybe
the
maybe they had like
that.
Slicers, you know, and you know, counter
encoding
slicing
stuff. Yeah, because you used to in the old books you had to encode everything, and You had to buy encrypted comlinks and stuff.
You do in this one too.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't think any of us had starting money to spend.
Probably
that,
to afford it. Not everybody. Correct. Some people may have bought, but
I ain't got jack.
I'm just gonna go ahead and break that one. And then fix one of the other ones.
He just eats it.
And fix one of the other ones. There's one way he knows how to break them where they don't work and then fix them very easily. So he has like this infinite cycle of like plastic cell phones he can.
All right, little buddy. We're gonna retrace our steps. I'm gonna head to the medical clinic, and then from there, I'll recognize everything, even though everything's covered in sand. You know what? Let's just go. Let's go. And he starts walking.
I don't have any control over this because it's holding me, so.
That's right.
In the middle of as he's getting purred, he just realizes this, and his eyes get real big. He's like, crap.
Well, I guess I'm along for the ride now.
And then he falls asleep.
I think this is kidnapping. I think this is technically...
It's catnapping. Oh, my gosh.
Three at the same time.
All right. So I'm ahead back, but I'm going to not make eye contact with that homeless
I'm
going
to wave at him.
Don't wave at
him. He does the finger thing, or they...
Point at your eyes. Yeah. I'm watching you.
Yeah.
The homeless guy does. No, the homeless guy looks confused as you guys walk back by and you wave.
Yeah. He looks at his bottle in his hand, looks back to the cat.
Slowly lifts up his right hand and slowly waves back and looks at you guys walking by in confusion.
My God, I can't believe you waved at him. Oh my God. All right. Listen, let's just walk faster and we'll get out of here sooner. I need to find Lan and Fog and drink them
all. By the end of this short, like span from the alley, he's just running full throttle marathon sprint.
Yeah, basically. He's also crying a little.
So meanwhile, back at the actual Crystal Palace, Log and Draco are ate mighty heartily and probably have already had a couple of drinks in them by now. And during this time, the Togruta singer has joined you guys at the table. Now it's just the three of you.
Is it awkward?
It appears to be very awkward by the look on Vog's face.
If it's not, I flip Destiny to make it awkward.
You don't have to do that. It's awkward enough.
What do the Togruta look like?
You don't watch the Clone Wars, have you?
Not really, not much.
I can get a picture.
We showed him a picture last week. It wouldn't do any good.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see.
They have the three head tails.
I'm just going.
Orange and white skin, black eyes. Have the patterns on their face. They're like the new Twi'leks.
Yeah, okay. They're similar to the Twi'leks.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But they don't got brains in their tentacles.
Right.
This kind of works hard, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hadn't seen a Bothan around here anywhere lately, have you?
Earlier when you guys were in here, but I don't know where he went.
Okay.
Our search is done.
Well, I give up. We tried.
You know, when I said that they wouldn't come find me, I was more so trying to protect them. But now that I know the truth.
Pathetic.
It's kind of like we look everywhere we don't look. Last episode. We're out of places to look and stranded, so.
True Every that. Time I leave this bar, bad things happen. So I should just stay at this bar.
That's why Tyr stays here.
It's the curse. It's spread to us.
Great. We're alcoholics now.
Yeah, I'm holding back on the drinking. No more of that blackout stuff that we've been.
It's good stuff. What are you talking about?
Every time we come here, we lose a couple of hours. I mean, so I'm going to hold back on that.
As he takes a sip.
So, you guys have lost your friend?
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Is this the only place you're going to look for your friend is in this particular bar, this cantina?
This is there's only two places that he goes.
And where would that be?
Here in that clinic down the...
And you've already checked those two places?
Well, no.
So you've only looked in the bar?
Well, yeah. It's where I would go if I was lost.
How much have you had to drink? We've already checked the clinic. We've checked everywhere we know to look in town.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So you guys are just going to sit here and drink? This is Tim asking. You're going to sit here and drink and eat? Until
yes, until
you're bored with that.
We've got, well, it's not a matter of boredom. We're doing this because we are bored. There's nothing else to do.
Okay.
You don't get bored of being bored. That's how that.
Meanwhile, back at the ship, Lan is busy.
The only one making progress on anything.
Probably not.
He's not making a lot of progress. It's.
I didn't say a lot of progress. I said any.
Right. How many of you guys have done mechanics work and don't know how to do mechanics work? Like if I were to do it. So definitely. I'm normally end up covered in grease. My knuckles are bloody and I've probably been cussing.
Sometimes it's like you open up the hood and it's like staring into the human brain.
Yeah, like, that so, is Jeremy and Lan.
Right. You're right. It's like,
that's where we
what
are.
What is that thing? Do I need that?
Yeah,
is it supposed to be brown?
All kinds of things that you're taking apart, and you're like, I have no clue what this even is. And you're just putting them, you're trying your best to put them out in the order that you've taken them off.
Oh, no.
So when it comes time to put it all back together, then at least you've got
oh no
some kind of idea on how to put it back together. Now, there's a goop in here. There's like grease and stuff, but this grease and stuff is also mixed with sand, so it's kind of a paste, and it's all over you.
I'm not happy.
Yeah, I can see that. Are you talking about you or Lan?
Yes. You know, as I'm doing this, I'll think, wasn't there somebody I was supposed to be calling about something? And then I'll kick something.
You call up Kanner Ostup, and the voice that comes back is, it's all, it, not only is it...
It's also what was all...
Through the sound of... Of the comm link.
It's data.
But it's through another device.
No, that would be progress.
So it all sounds extra artificial, extra mechanical. When he speaks to you, he's like,
this is Kanner Ostup.
This is Captain Lan Kai of The Last Ride.
Captain Kai, how may I be of service to you this fine morning?
Dale Malvo.
Oh, yeah, Dale.
Gave me your name. I have a crew member that I can't find. I was hoping that you might be able to help me out.
Sure. Do you want to transmit information through your comm, or do I need to come to where you are? You want to come to the office here?
I can transmit it through the comms.
Yeah, that's fine. Transmit it, and I'll go hunt this crew member down. This shouldn't be too hard. I mean, Felina's not that big. There's only so many places a person could be hiding here in Felina, right?
Right.
He's here in Felina?
Yes.
Or she? Which is
he?
So, yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. And this one's on the house since you're friends with Dale.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll send the data.
Right. He goes,
as soon as I find something out, I'll let you know. It might be a couple hours.
Much appreciated.
You guys continue to do what you're doing right now. Lan continues to attempt to take the ship apart, to get to that clogged up...
Well, taking it apart's easy.
To get that filter... Draco and Vogue continue to eat and drink and chit-chat with the pretty lady. And then Dr. Risker and his new friend continue to wander around aimlessly looking for something, any landmark that might be remotely familiar. And Risker, you think you find a couple of those, and you're like, oh, it's definitely this way. And you get down that alleyway, and it's not that way.
Did you say landmark?
I did. A landmark, right?
There he is. I can tell from the way he cowers under that table. I'm kidding. You don't.
That part's definitely getting edited out.
I resemble that remark.
Oh, snap.
I'm sorry.
That's how Risker's lines were removed entirely from the...
Like, vanished without a trace.
Oh, man.
He really did disappear.
Oh. No
doubt. And we're Risker and... his new friend cut down an alley, and you realize that you have worked your way all the way back to that alley where the Scorn's den is.
Oh.
And you're like, oh my, I'm going in circles.
We've passed that trash can 7 times.
Why did you say any? No, why? No, no, it's fine.
I thought it was intentional the first 4.
That's what he says.
I'm not trying to. I thought this was the right way. Did I make 2 lefts and then on the right? Or maybe how? Why does everything have to look? Why is there so much sand on this planet?
You hear a mechanical voice that sounds like it's coming through some kind of filter or face mask. And it says,
Dr. Risker Base here.
His ears immediately go up and he kind of slowly glances to where that voice came from.
You slowly turn around, holding your loth cat.
And my fur coat.
And your fur coat.
I'm actually wearing the fur
coat now.
And you see a Keldor, and he's wearing the locals' garb, the clothing that these locals wear. He's got the goggle pieces over his eyes and the breath mask that he would wear all the time. He holds a blaster in his hand, and he takes aim and shoots at you.
That concludes this week's episode. Things are getting pretty interesting for the crew. Dr. Risker is still missing. The last ride has a bad motivator. The crew is becoming very good friends with a very dangerous criminal. Also, we at the Polyhedron Society would love to get some feedback from you. Let us know how we're doing. You can follow us on Twitter, friend us on Facebook, email us. We just want to hear from you. And remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network, bringing you the geek.